Okay, this is our final hour here with Creighton and Bradshaw. We take your questions and also tell me about evil, the devil, when we come right back on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back. We're with Creighton and Bradshaw, and of course, your final questions and stories about the devil as well. When you talk to people about the fact that you don't believe in the devil, what do they say to you, Creighton?
Basically, you get usually, like most of the callers, they're quite shocked because they want to follow the religious line that they have been brought up and taught with. But the people that I'm meeting that are very spiritual, they're actually looking at the idea of a soul going on. They don't. They're starting to relook things. And also when I show them some of the writings from the Book of Enoch and that, they're starting to see that there's more of a physical entity view. One of them is like the one Enoch 69:6. A lot of people say that Satan is the one that led Eve astray in the garden. This states, it says, and the third was named Gadriel. He it is who showed the children of men all lethal blows, and he led Eve astray. And he also taught them how to abort their children and to write and to put makeup on. And it says it in the book. That sounds like a physical entity doing this.
Well, it sure does. All right, back to the calls. Duarte, we go, California. Hi, Scott. Go ahead.
Yeah, George. Great guest tonight, as usual.
Thank you.
And, I had been clinically dead a few times, three times during a 28-hour brain surgery. And I was what International Association for Near-Death Studies calls. I had a core experience. It's the highest level near-death experience. You know, that's it. One with the universe. And I had all knowledge of the entire universe that was given to me. And I was spoken to by who I knew intuitively to be God. And one of the things he said to me was, Scott, anything is possible. And I was also given an influx of knowledge to go with the words, and what that means is absolute anything beyond our imaginations. And it's really, I still have, you know, revelations that come out of that. And also, with this group that I do speaking engagements for called IAMS, you know, near-death studies, I have a friend who, or an acquaintance that he actually, he had passed on and didn't have a pleasant experience at all. And he makes no bones about it in his speaking engagements that he was not a nice man before that. And
where did he go? What did he see?
He went to hell.
Well, what was his experience? What was his description of it?
Oh, it was, I mean, just even though he didn't have flesh, it was like these creatures. It was like he felt he had flesh, and there was these creatures just screaming horribly and, you know, at him and cussing him out and tearing at his flesh, and just, he said it was beyond words. And he's a big guy, you know, and I mean, he broke down a little bit when he was telling me a little bit about it. And I mean, it was, I mean, I know, and you know, I look him in the eye when I'm talking to him, and I tell you, it's,
it's a life changer, Scott. It is. We've got to take some more calls here. But, you know, Creighton, the other side may not be the most pleasant place, is it?
No. Well, remember, like, as I said, it's a condition and it's a place. It's a condition of your soul. And yes, it will be a very harrowing experience to go to the hells. But you're, and it's also what you want it to be, I think. You know, that's, it is possible that we can set it up that way for us, but it will always be a place of darkness. It's such an interesting concept that we are always away from the dark, from the light, that we are that far away from God and the sorrows and the horror, and only we can get ourselves out by praying and asking for help. That is one of the major issues with respect to progressing as a soul.
Okay, let's go to Celeste in Seaford, Delaware. Hey, Celeste, welcome to the show.
Hey, the battery on the cordless house line's dying. I hope you can hear me on this phone.
So far,
right?
So good. Sure.
I'm going to try and go through this as quickly as possible. And forgive me if my terminology is not good, but I don't want to take too much time. I totally agree with what you're saying about fallen angels, about the Holy Spirit being a gift, and Christ came to tell us, important, that that's our birthright. And there's something that keeps us from knowing that we have that birthright, and that is a piece of this puzzle you're talking about here. I also agree with what you said about the greater sin being not accepting or denying the Holy Spirit. Everything is very much aligned with awareness that was given to me by my spiritual family 30 years ago. And I have worked on this issue one-on-one with people for a long time. Yes. When I was a child, I couldn't reconcile the two forces. Or like you said, why would God take sides in a war? Everybody in that army's okay. Didn't make sense. I also observed that people were often, it seemed, more driven to religious practice out of fear. Fear of evil, fear of death, fear, rather than love. And I took that all in, and I decided at a young age that I was going to choose to let go of believing in evil. Let go of believing there was a separate force. And go with God is one and omnipotent and omniscient. Mm-hmm. And pray for the truth to be revealed. Now, going forward, you spoke of animal nature being the culprit here, that within us, that's what separates us, you know, our jealousy, our emotions, our envy, and all that. On the flip side, I've observed animals, and collectively, they rarely are driven to do the same things to each other that people do because of how exaggerated greed and envy and jealousy can become. So then that brings me to what is it about us humans, okay? And even animals seem to have a collective sense of what natural love is. They try to live more in harmony than we do. There's things that I see. I don't see that in people. I don't see that sometimes, that natural love. And I think it's been more something that's happened in this past. I don't know. I can't speculate. But what it all boils down to is I've had several out-of-body experiences that were gifts. And I'm not going to go into the detail here. And I will tell you to respond to you, George. In one of them, I was in an ascension process. And I guess what you would call a demonic entity, because all I can tell you is that when it spoke, the resonance of the voice and its presence sent a jolt like a shock through me that completely interrupted this absolute sacred place. And there was a host of angels present. This was a process that in real time took quite some time to even come about. It was there was not one thought in my mind that anything unholy. It was as though I'd been here before and I was in the sacred ground. No thought entered my mind.
So did you feel good in that environment?
In the ascension?
Yeah.
Absolutely safe. And I want you to know, much of my life I've not felt safe. I was a latchkey kid, a lot of things, okay? There's been a lot of things, but in that moment, more safe than ever. I was in the presence of my spiritual family. You know, the light in the room was a rosy golden glow. I had healing in the physical. This was something that had gone over several months to come to. It's a very big, long story. But the point is, and I'm amazed that I'm sharing this publicly because I've been thinking about writing about it for 30 years. And a lot of the awareness that he is speaking of was given to me at this time. But the point is, in response to you, George, there was something that came present, completely shocked me, and I mean literally physically shocked me, like it was electrical current. I heard this voice whispering in my ear, "I'm here." And I went into shock at every level. It interrupted everything that happened. And, you know, I'm not going to go into everything. But in that moment, I was sure that there is another force that is acting on human beings. There is a concerted effort going on to interfere, and not only interfere, but knows how to present in different forms, how to deceive people, how to play on their emotions, so much so that, you know, this gentleman is trying to give us some wonderful information tonight, I think, about the identity. We really need to understand the identity of it.
Well, would you call it the devil, Celeste?
Well, see, that's where I think we get into problems, because when we call something, the truth is somewhere in between what he's saying, meaning I'm an open-minded, New Age spiritual person. I'm also a Gnostic Christian. I'm both. And the truth is somewhere in between there, because when we use the term devil or Satan, there's so much preconceived dogma that we've been taught. So what I would want to say is I don't think we've totally ID'd this. And I think maybe look in the direction he's looking and Sitchin's work and other things, we need to understand the mechanisms. And part of the mechanisms is that whatever it is, it understands human nature. So that when two people start to talk about the devil or talk about an idea, we can get so, you know, offended or so concerned with being right or so afraid of what the truth might be that we can be distracted. So I'm saying it understands human nature, which leads me to believe it studied us for a long time.
All right. What are your thoughts on that, Creighton?
I'm blown away. It's brilliant.
So, Celeste, thank you for the call.
Yeah.
We'll take
Absolutely.
A few more before the break.
Yeah.
So it's pretty much in line with what you've said.
Yeah. The only thing I never ever was never asked or brought up was, no one asked me how I wrote the book. And I did some research, but I honestly believe that this book, someone wrote through me. I've written this book in bars and pubs. I've been on the road with sports teams. It took that long. And something wrote through me. And it's the same thing as what she was saying, that it exists. The angels exist, and they are what they are. But a lot of what we see are just the light-bodied souls that to us are like, oh, this is just amazing. No, not really. Not compared to Gabriel and Michael, the ones that were created long ago. No. But they offer so much because they have a greater understanding. I mean, I've never brought up the fact that I had a near-death experience, and I felt at this time I had the most amazing girlfriend and an incredible life, and I was for a second with these people, and I was absolutely insignificant in what I understood and what they understood. But I was so happy that when I came up and I woke up, I actually cried and I wanted to be back there. I would have given anything because the light was so warm and the love was something that I had never felt before.
Okay, next up, let's go to Miami, Florida. Hey, JP, welcome to the show.
Hi.
Hi.
I wanted to tell you about an experience I had. And I was doing a research paper for my theology class, and I went to do some research as to when man first gained knowledge, you know, or the thought of us having God in our life, you know. And so I was looking at a YouTube video, and it popped up in one of my links, and I clicked on it, played the video for about a minute, and saw that it was in Italian, and they were getting ready to do an exorcism, because it was translated in English. And I said, no, I'm not looking for that. That's not what type of information. So I scrolled down because there's information in English. And I'm reading, and then I got to the picture of our new pope. That's the one that's moving right now. And I looked up, and I saw his picture, and something hit me so hard on my body that it felt like I got hit by a car, ripping through my body like a jolt. It was so negative, so evil, that literally I was paralyzed, and I had tears running down my eyes, and all I could say was, God, get this out of me. Get this. I couldn't control my hand. I couldn't control my movement. It stayed within me like for a minute, just literally ripping me apart from the inside. And then all of a sudden, it left me. And I, when I went to bed that night, that awful feeling stayed with me for almost the entire night. And I just wanted to ask your guest, what he feels about something like that. And I didn't believe in evil or devils or anything like that either. I was just trying to write a simple report, and that happened to me, and I'll never forget it.
Well, what did you feel when you saw a picture of John Paul II?
I didn't feel anything about any of the other popes. That's why when I saw this pope and that hit me like that, that scared me, because it actually made me think that negative energies do exist, and you could be watching something on the computer and that negative energy actually came from me looking at that screen, and it hit me that way. And I have never ever experienced anything like it in my life, not before nor after.
Well, it's interesting.
I won't even look at his picture again.
Well, it's interesting you brought that up, because Padgett brings up a very interesting point. He said that there are people out there that are psychics. He says that the psychic has to be able to be getting close to God. They have to have the Holy Spirit in them. If they don't, then who in the world are they talking to? Don't think that everyone on the other side has any brains or any concept, because remember, they're all at different levels. So you could actually be talking to someone communicating who's in the hells, who thinks they know everything. The same as a person on the planet where you go, oh, you're just a know-it-all. Same concept. I had a person, I heard a story that they said that this person was supposed to kill themselves, and they were supposed to hang themselves, and that was what their life was supposed to be. And I'm just looking at them going, who told you this? They go, this is what this psychic said. That's insanity. You're telling me that someone's purpose on this planet was to kill themselves and that this would help them. I just went, oh, you're just talking to the wrong spirit. So, but very interesting. Thank you.
Well, it sure is. We've got about a minute or so before the break. Then we're going to come back with more stories about evil and questions for you, Creighton Bradshaw, as well. Do you give speeches at all?
This is the first time. I haven't had any opportunity. I just got the website up about 3 weeks ago. So, like I said, I am absolutely indebted to you. You've just done a world of good for me, and just for me to even talk to other people. But I'd love to go on tour at some point.
Well, it's a great subject matter. People are interested. It affects everybody. And, you know, whether we agree or not, the important thing is that it affects all of us, doesn't it?
Yes, it does. And that is what the human condition is about, George, and the spiritual condition at the same time. And it's the same as the motivational speakers who don't want to be called motivational speakers. They're still opening us to who we are. So,
all right, well, stay with us. We're going to come back in just a moment on Coast to Coast AM with Creighton Bradshaw as we talk about his work, What About God? And, of course, we'll take your final phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. On our next program, Nick Begich joins us. We're going to talk about HAARP and what he thinks might be going on, causing earthquakes perhaps, all kinds of weather manipulation. Who knows? That'll be our next Coast to Coast show when we come back. Final phone calls right here on Coast to Coast AM. Creighton, when you were writing and researching your book, did you stumble across anything that was surprising for you or unusual, anything like that?
I just think Pat Jay's theories really opened my eyes, because I was just trying to get a connection between the Anunnaki coming down and creating us and something about the soul with Jesus, because I really, really am a strong proponent of Jesus. And I think it was just the message that Jesus was sent here to give us, that we needed to open our hearts to the Holy Spirit so that we could get the natural love that we had lost back, because that is what we need just to get to ground zero again.
Go ahead.
Oh, no, go ahead. Sorry.
No, you're the one talking. Go ahead.
Well, that just opened my eyes to, I went to church, I never got any concept of Jesus on that level. I just knew that he did great works, and he helped people, and he was hated. And then this whole picture shows that his message is so important, but so different. It was just about love. It was just about getting the Spirit into you. And then a lot of the writing started to make more sense when I looked in the Bible.
All right, let's go to Diana now in Virginia Beach. That's in Virginia, of course. Hi, Diana, go ahead.
Hi, George, and hi, Clayton. How are you?
Hello.
Good.
Great. I just wanted to make a statement and an experience. It was probably about, I was in my 20s, let's say it was about 30-some years ago. My mother had a roommate who was from Mexico, and she landed here in Virginia Beach with a singing job and a gentleman who played the piano at some of the nightclubs, and she needed a place to stay, so she was welcome to come here. But she was very spiritual. She was very dark-skinned, beautiful black, blue hair, beautiful black eyes, and she had like a half a moon scar on her forehead. And she used to tell me and my mother was 100% Italian, was, she has passed away, and had psychic abilities, and she used to tell us that that was part of her Aztec heritage. And so she taught her and me how to meditate. First time ever, you know, I'm 20 years old. We're meditating, and I really got into it. And at the end of it, she asked us to release our hands, and our eyes were closed the whole time, and to let our energy flow. And at that moment, I was scared to death because I saw so many shadows. My eyes were closed, but I saw shadow movement, and I felt something pulling out of me. And I immediately closed my hands. And to tell you the truth, I haven't meditated like that since. So she also used to make another point that to even walk near Christ or Jesus, to be even near the Creator in divinity, that we had to go through seven sins of man. And I used to go, what do you mean by that, Maria? Her name is Maria. And she said, you have to come back, be reincarnated. And I just want to know your take on those things. Thank you.
All right. You're welcome. Creighton, that's for you.
And was she, I just thought, did she say incarnated or reincarnated?
Incarnated,
yes. So her experience was her soul actually leaving, which originally, when we had natural love in us, it was allowed to fly back and forth because there's a silver cord that attaches to us. And as I had stated earlier, you have a physical body, you have a spirit body within the physical body that actually has the mental faculties and all the faculties that exist. So if the physical body is blind, the spiritual body is not. You have the cord that attaches, and that's what she was experiencing. It was actually allowing her to come out. I've done it once or twice myself, and it's quite scary, but you can actually leave and then come back.
What do you think of the Book of Revelation? Real?
I think the Book of Revelations is still Anunnaki. I think we've grabbed, it just seems so out of place when I've read, you know, Matthew, Mark, Luke, John, and I mean, even their stories are even more elaborate of the crucifixion and what happened to Jesus afterwards. And then we have this Book of Revelation, and then Jesus is coming back and he's much more violent. And I'm kind of, where did this come out of? And I think it's Anunnaki again, or that gentleman's view that it's is the story of Atlantis, because he felt that there was some descriptions of copper walls, and he said that he had heard and read that that was what Atlantis was known for, was its copper. And so he felt that that was it. So I'll go with that.
Let's go to Travis. Kennewick was Washington, first-time caller. Hi, Travis. How are you?
Hey, guys. How are you doing?
Hey, Travis.
Good. I had a pretty bizarre demonic possession experience about 10 years ago, and I'm sitting here thinking about how I'm going to tell you guys about it, and it's haunting me now still. I was working, and I was hanging around a guy for a long time. He was a developmentally disabled guy, And I knew him pretty good for about 4 years. And one day, he jumped on my lap. He's a real happy, you know, guy. And he just kind of hugged you and stuff. And he said, hey, let's go do the dishes. And we got up. We started running to the dishwasher. And all of a sudden, his voice completely changed into this deep, just scary voice. And what it said to me, just it haunts me today. He said, you're going to hell. And I mean, it was, I couldn't even explain to you how scary it was. Just, I've known the guy for a long time. I knew his voice. I knew his kind of habits, you know. Mm-hmm. He'd never displayed anything like that or did anything like that before. But when I heard you guys wanting to hear one of those, I thought I just got right up and had to call. I've always been pretty stubborn to the idea of demons, so I didn't believe in them at all. But after that, that really changed my mind.
And you're believing them. What about the devil, Travis? What do you think?
Gosh, you know, I feel like that there is. But like you guys are talking about, in the tradition of how my upbringing, if it wasn't for that, maybe I wouldn't even feel any, you know, like there's a devil. But after this, I do feel that there's some sort of an evil, you know, and then I didn't even believe that before this. So
what a shocking thing to happen. But I, you know, and when you were speaking, I could feel it in you. I could just feel this horror. But it does not need to be a fallen angel. We actually have a history story of two chimpanzees, both females, that were murdering other chimpanzees at night and killing them and butchering them. And so that would only be what a human would do, unless it's something that can actually be done by a human. So on the other side, there are very twisted souls. I mean, a lot of the Nazis were very twisted in what they did. That is where they are. And your friend, now, did you say your friend was mentally challenged?
Developmentally disabled?
Yeah. Well, it is very possible that a spirit could just walk in and scare you. That spirit could have been in there for a while. It may actually be there, and it comes and goes very calmly. And maybe you never really see what it's thinking, but that's very scary. Oh, yeah, that did happen. I agree. There's no doubt.
Creighton, what about exorcisms? I mean, what do you think is really going on here?
I honestly believe that that is a soul on the other side that has come over. And even if you've watched a lot of the movies and that about it, there's actually moments when that body is alone. And it even says it, even in The Exorcist, she says, help me, because she's in there. But that thing could have left for a while and then come back. And yes, it has to be taken out. That is, does not need to be a fallen angel. That can just be a very, very evil spirit that is in the health. And it, like I said, the health is a condition and a place. And if you're around enough people, you're not going to leave. Like I always say about a bar, you go into a bar, like, you know, we're talking a huge bar. There's a lot of sad souls in there, and they're happy, and they will keep coming back. And you're going, really? We only come in here once a month, and you're here every second. I wonder what's going on, but they're happy. Well, you're around enough, it's hard to get out. And these evil spirits go out, and they can get into bodies. And yes, exorcisms exist, and you are trying to get it out. And what do they say? They use the words Holy Spirit. There you go.
Let's go to Kaya in Glendale, Arizona. Hi, Kaya. Go ahead.
My name's Tia.
Tia. Oh, it's Kai on my board.
That's okay.
But we'll change it.
First, God bless everybody that's listening. Put that blessing out there for everybody.
Wonderful.
A couple of things. There's quite a few things I'd like to discuss with you, but I know time is short here. I'd like to say that some of the things you're saying have a truth to them, but then some of the things that you're saying don't. For example, when you talked about human being able to create, we don't create. We are not God. Only God creates. We are the created. We can make. We can refashion. We can take those things that God created and make things out of them, but only God can create. And when you brought up Genesis and you were talking about the void and how then somehow this consciousness came about, not because that void was God, but because God acted upon the void, the nothing. He created, and that's the Genesis story. Another thing you mentioned was about the Christ principle. Christ isn't a principle. Christ is a person. His name is Jesus. Jesus is God. Jesus is the Word taking on flesh and dwelling with us. And I'm not sure where you stand on that, because some of the things you're saying seems to make me think that you think that Jesus was a wonderful person, a great teacher, but not God. And Jesus is God.
But the Christ principle is God, love manifested in man. Jesus is the human. Jesus died on the cross. The Christ principle can't. It's the Holy Spirit. It's the aspect. It's a part of God.
No,
and
Jesus,
that's what we're striving for. Yeah.
That's why his body was resurrected. That's why he resurrected himself. He came to fulfill the prophecy that God was teaching to his chosen people, trying to reveal himself. And so when he came into humanity, he did die on the cross, but then he resurrected himself like he said he would. It isn't that God can be killed. It's that he laid down his life for us to get us back into right relationship with him. And there isn't evil, by the way. You say, you know, it isn't fallen angels and everything. When God created, he gave the angels free will, for example, just like he gave humanity free will. And when you choose not to serve God, not to do good, because everything God created was good, but in that free will gift that he gave us, we can choose not to serve God. And that's the origin of evil. Lucifer and all of these other fallen angels, they fell because they said, I will not serve. And that is the source of evil. And evil can only influence you if you allow it. It has no power over you. I've had experiences with evil before, and because of my faith in Jesus, it had no power over me. But I've also dealt with other people that are sick, that have what they call an oppressive or an obsessive spirit that torments them because of their weak mind, or they could be not healthy, a lot of different situations. And all you have to do, if you have your faith in Jesus and the truth and the understanding of who God is and why he came into earth and why he created us, that you can have power over them just by your faith in Jesus, because the weakest believer is stronger than Satan, is stronger than evil. And one of the tricks of evil is to make you think that it doesn't exist. And so a lot of people are easily deceived. And that's why I wanted to call and talk to you, because I'm wondering, some of the things you say are truthful, but some of the things that you say are deceptive. And people out there that don't have that gift of discernment are going to get caught up into some of your new age philosophy.
I wouldn't say deceptive. I would say it's his opinion. There's a difference. You're not out to deceive anybody.
No.
Unless you're the devil.
Like I said, I still will not put human emotions on God and the angels. I will not do it. Because once they are divine, they are divine. And that is what made Jesus different. He was already had the natural love in him. And when he was baptized, he fully got the divine love and was totally different. He was totally different. And I think that's the difference. But I love the caller's passion for what she believes. That's awesome. That's what makes the world go around, George.
Well, you are convinced, though, that there is pure evil out there, right?
Oh, I saw it with the Nazis. I saw it in Cambodia. You see it when people I've had family members know people. I met these people that went on and killed their wives and their mother-in-law. Where does that come out of? You know?
Yeah, where does it? Let's go to Michael in Texas. We'll get you in here real fast. Go ahead, Michael.
Oh, thanks for taking my call.
Hey, Michael.
This is a wonderful show, Creighton. Going back to like the Anunnaki in Genesis, I believe that's before the book of Genesis, I believe that's when we had Garden of Eden type situation on the planet Earth. The Anunnaki came in, brought in greed, deception, murder. the power, you know, to have power over others, and I believe that is what evil consists of. It consists of a choice to be or not be.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, the balance between good and evil is a choice to do or not do, to be or not be good, or, you know, bad, or be deceptive and whatnot, or the desire to have that in you. And I believe that, you know, Jesus came here to show us our human potential as individuals. You know, he said in John 12, verse 14, or John 14, verse 12, whatever, these things I do, you shall do, and even greater things than these shall you do. That, to me, that's a direct order, and that our failure to see our godness within ourselves, or to see ourselves as an extension of the creative process, the failure to recognize that is to me kind of the original sin, because that's what it's going to take for us to get up above this veil of deception that we've been living under for all these thousands of years since the Anunnaki came in and brought that unconscionable lifestyle.
All right, 30 seconds to go here, Michael and Creighton. And do you believe that we will be raptured, Creighton?
No, not at all. Not at all.
You don't think that's going to happen?
No, not at all. It's all based off of when we go to the other side. That's we don't come back. There isn't any reincarnation. We incarnate once, and we go to the other side, and that is the longest part of our existence. But I just love the passion that these callers are.
Oh, they are. Going. Let me tell you, they are the best, Creighton. Thank you so much. His book, What About God? For Dan Galati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, George Knapp, John B. Wells, Ian Punnett, and Art Bell. I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. We'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.